You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I wish Senator Schumer would tell her to butt out of the Senate's business, but he hasn't done that, and he's not going to. Chuck just moves and follows the Speaker into the chute like a cow. Speaker Pelosi's calling these shots, and I regret it.
Here we are, April the 9th, 2020. The words of Senator John Kennedy, Republican, Louisiana, saying basically, Pelosi, butt out. This all comes down to what was taking place in the Senate today. As the Senate is trying to get more money for Americans who are suffering right now, it's a $250 billion urgent request to shore up the small business fund, trying to get it pushed through. Senator McConnell today, leader of the Senate, pleading with Democrats, just pass this, change the funding for this program from $350 billion to $600 billion in a clean emergency measure. That means don't start tacking on all of your other stuff, reference what you want to add to it, things you want to put in, windmills, green leaf projects, whatever. Don't start doing that. Just simply give us the bill we need. And Chuck Schumer was listening to Nancy Pelosi from the House. See, the Republicans control the Senate, and the Democrats control the House. And Pelosi knows that she can whip Schumer into line. And I love the analogy that you heard Senator Kennedy say. Schumer is just like another cow. Pelosi moves, and she moves forward, and he just simply follows behind. As Senator McConnell said today, to my Democrat colleagues, please do not block emergency aid. You do not even oppose just because you want something more. They did. So it's not going to pass through as quickly as possible. So if you, your family, your business are suffering and continue to suffer longer than what you should have in the midst of all this, look right here to this point, this very day, April 9th, and what Pelosi did. They're very good about pointing the finger of blame on anyone and everyone that they don't like for anything else that goes wrong. But when it comes to this, they simply want to put it all on Trump, right? But on this case, pay attention, folks. Pay attention. The Democrats were fighting against this because they want to tack on more and more. So where do we stand right now? Well, of course, first of all, we have some good numbers as far as the Dow Jones is going, because the Fed did roll out a $2.3 trillion lending program. So those numbers are up. Our jobless claims, not good. Not good, and they're not going to get any better. No one should be surprised. We are seeing the numbers that we were far away from before all of this started. Unemployment claims swelling to 6.6 million. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. But the quicker we get the money out, the better it would be. Democrats know that, but they also know they've got a political weapon they can use. Worldwide infections, 1.5 million. Deaths worldwide, 90,000. U.S. infection confirmed rate, 430,000. Deaths confirmed, 15,000. But that's, when I say confirmed COVID, that's really not true, because coroners have admitted unless they had the true virus test, they cannot identify if the person died because of COVID-19 or the regular flu. They don't know right now. We're going to also be joined before the next 2 hours are out by Dr. Gerard Lamero. Joe Biden, is he going to run away with the Democrat nomination now? Sanders is still on the ballot. Sanders is not releasing his delegates. Sanders is still trying to hold a knife to Joe Biden's throat. And Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental, more stories from the front line of battling COVID-19. His company goes around trying to make sure areas are sterile and safe for employees and customers to return, be they a restaurant, a hospital, and a construction business. You'll want to hear some of his stories. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We've got to get this economy back on its feet. The coronavirus can kill you, but so can poverty. And we have waterboarded the American economy. And we've got to stand it back up. And until we can do that, we have got to get some money to the American people and to the American business community. It's just as simple as that.
It is just that simple. And again, that's Senator John Kennedy, Louisiana, Republican. He's very good at colloquialisms and talking about Pelosi being the lead cow and Schumer following along behind. Every time she moves, he follows. Talk about our economy, we have waterboarded it. I think that's a perfect example. And we got to stand it back up. We need to do it sooner than later. Now, of course, the hope is that we are flattening the curve and that we're beginning to get ahead of this nationwide. Yet at the same time that story is told, we're also hearing that there are hot spots suddenly surfacing in the Philadelphia area. And I saw another analyst say that when it comes to flattening the curve, what we've done is flatten the economy. That's pretty right. But we have options. We have options such as what we were talking about a moment ago. We have the government today releasing the numbers that are frightening when it comes down to unemployment, swelling to 6.6 million. And that would have sent the stock market way, way down. But it's not. It's above water. In fact, it's trading above 400 plus points, I think, at last check. Because the Federal Government Reserve plan to provide 2.3 million in lending was released. It got rolled out. So that's a big help. That's offsetting That's, again, additional loans. So in the House, they're watching this, and they see that's going to help the economy. That's not what Pelosi and her Democrats want. They want you to suffer. They want you to suffer. So that's why she calls over to Schumer in the Senate, to block that Senate plan by the Republicans. The plan to provide more aid. And they did. I think the way that Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, summed it up, he said, we need more money. We need it fast. I want to add more money to the only part of our bipartisan bill that could run out of money. We cannot continue treating working Americans as political hostages. And then he said, just let's pass this. Pass a clean bill. Just simply add to the money that's already there. Change the funding from $350 billion to $600 billion. Just simply vote $250 billion more. Well, if that helps salvage Americans and their businesses and the economy, then it would look like a win for Republicans. Again, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana says, in perspective, when you look at this as to how it's been handled by the Democrats, once we started trying to figure out how we're going to get money to the American people and how fast we can make it happen, and then we have this today, Senator Kennedy again.
From day one, the Speaker has not only called the shots for the House, but she's tried to call the shots for the United States Senate. She parachuted in at the last minute before we passed the CARES Act, when we had 85-90% of it worked out. She caused us to delay passing it by 4 days. And I just think she sees this as a political opportunity more than anything else. Now, I understand politics, Shannon. I've been around it my whole life. But it's time to think about the American people and the next generation, not the next election.
But that's what they're looking for. That's why they keep wanting to add stuff into it. All right, let me give you the other side of the argument, because I want to try to give it to you so you fully understand it. Why would the Democrats say the bill in the Senate's not good, and we're not going to let it go through until we get additional pieces on it? Well, there are a lot of pieces that are outright wrong. There are some pieces they can try to justify, but they're just using them as excuses. Democrats blocked an effort again, simply to approve by unanimous consent to increase the funding for the Small Business Loan Program. I would imagine there are a lot of minority small businesses that need that help. They might need it more than those that are not minority owned. If that's the base of the Democrats, they are spitting in the face of their constituents and turning their back on them, saying, well, you're just going to have to suffer because we got to make a point. We got to make a point. Maryland Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen said, Democrats, we recognize more money is needed. We understand that. Point one, they've acknowledged that more money is needed, simply needed. But he and the others argue that you can't just boost the funding. Can't just add money on. Why can't you? Well, you know, if you're just going to throw it on there, I mean, we got to have something in there to say that we had a hand in it. You would have a hand in it. You would be recognized as crossing the bridge and joining together and taking America down the road farther rather than pushing them deeper into debt. They had that option. Senator Ben Cardin, a Maryland Democrat, said he believes a bipartisan deal could be reached quickly on the small business aspect of the package, but he said a negotiation would have to occur between the top four leaders, So I think at this level, you have to have a total buy-in. McConnell on the Republicans. McCarthy, he's all in it. Schumer might be, but Pelosi said, no. So who's going to end up suffering? Do you think the Democrats are going to suffer? Well, they may at the polls. We certainly hope so. But what we have again is they really want this bill. If you're going to add more money to it, they want a chance to add more things on. I want to get into some of the details of how they want to spend some of this money and what they have in mind, and you are not going to like it. But let me give you an analysis of where we stand right now. I told you about the jobless unemployment numbers, how bad it is, how it's not going to get any better at this point. And this is analysis put together by CNN. It's a pretty good statement of saying things. And to the extent that this is material, we should just take direct from CNN and shove it in the face of Nancy Pelosi and say even your mainstream media cohorts, your water carriers are saying this, pointing out, and they're basing it on data because they got to, nearly a third of Americans did not pay their rent this month. Nearly a third. That's according to the National Multifamily Housing Council. Nearly a third did not pay. Well, it's been made clear that landlords and so forth should relax this for about 90 days. And mortgage companies should relax for 90 days. Your income, federal income tax, is not going to have to be filed dated April 15th. You got another 90 days on that. Most rental properties, of course, are owned by private landlords. They aren't eligible for a moratorium on holding back and not making the payments, but many are not. Many of them happen to be, you know, maybe retired couples, maybe some still working. They own two or three rental properties, additional income for them. They need the money, but their tenants living in there need it as well. And here's where all of this circles back. You heard Senator Kennedy refer to it a moment ago, that we could have had this out 4 days earlier until Nancy Pelosi came running in on this first stimulus package and denied it. The CARES Act, C-A-R-E-S Act. And we saw already what they were thinking about doing and what their real goal was by looking at what they were doing last Friday. They introduced a measure to amend the $2 trillion Act to extend the cash benefit payment to, if you're driving, please maintain full control of your car at this point. Do not start pounding the steering wheel and driving erratically and maybe endanger yourself and others. If you're walking down the street listening through one of your cell phone devices or apps or whatever, watch where you're walking when I make this next statement. If you're sitting at home, don't start screaming panic and scare the kids. Friday, Democrats introduced a measure to amend the $2 trillion money to extend the cash payment to non-citizens, including illegal aliens. Three House Democrats all introduced the Leave No Taxpayer Behind Act. They wanted to add more money to help illegal aliens and non-citizens. I know illegal aliens, the coronavirus does not specify are you employed or you're not, or you're here legally or not. I understand, we all understand that. But again, where we get the impetus and the push from the Democrats, their concern is not Americans, but votes. And they have seen that if we can make this an issue, then we can get more things. So that's what happened today. That's part of it. They want to add something like that in somewhere. Find some bill we can attach something like that to. And there are already a couple instances underway, and I'm going to give you a couple to you, and it's not just all federal money. I'm going to tell you about Chicago in a moment, and also California. But what we have is, again, an effort to not make the issue of helping America and U.S. citizens come through this intact and get back to work, but to make sure that the Democrats, in their view, their goal is build us a buffer of votes that we can count on going forward into November. And, of course, the prime socialist candidate is out, but he's still affecting the party and what's going to happen going forward. We're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later with Dr. Lamero. But the socialist agenda is still there. And rather than just say, let's just focus on helping Americans right now, let's hold them hostage until we get what we want. And that is, in a nutshell, the what happened today as to why we did not get this extra money added to the Small Business Fund. I mentioned that there are other plans underway to get money to illegals in the midst of all this and non-citizens. I'll give you a couple of examples. Let's take a breath, and we'll be right back.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deck on the flying kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Yeah, I have a question for you before we continue. Do you remember when the Democrats were saying, coronavirus is not a big deal. It's not going to be any different than the flu. No more different than the standard flu. Go out and have your parades, have your parties. Nancy Pelosi in Chinatown. Come on down to eat with us at Chinese restaurant. There's nothing to worry about. Do you remember that? The very same Democrats who are now accusing Trump of dropping the ball, not doing enough, not staying on top of it in the beginning. The Democrats don't want you to remember when they were saying that. I do. I want you to remember, and I'm going to play some of their clips before we finish out this hour. And you will hear them say that coronavirus, that's nothing more than sneezes. That's coming up a little bit later. First of all, back to this issue of getting money in our care packages while supporting America in this shutdown. California Governor Newsom considering issuing cash payments to his state's illegal immigrants as part of his Golden State Disaster Relief Fund. He was asked, are you going to do anything to help the illegals? Well, of course, we're inviting them in. We need to do something. So Newsom says Californians care deeply about undocumented residents in this state. Yeah, they do, Governor. They care about them being there, and they care about them getting out of there. And I'm sure they also care that they don't suffer illness and things of that nature as well. But they also care about their own families. I have praised Newsom on some things he's done recently, praising Trump, saying we're getting everything we need from the White House. But here he is saying, yeah, we might at the state level roll out a stimulus package and provide money for illegals in our community. If they do that, you know that means that California citizens, U.S. citizens, are not going to get as much. If you're going to break the pie into that many more pieces, does it take an economic major to understand that simple process? You only have so much, and now you're going to say, well, we're all going to include getting money to illegal aliens who might have a pickup truck with a sign and their number one. I know that's their small business. I understand that. There are a lot of small business Americans like that. But if you're going to take from their pickup and what they're trying to do and give it to the other guy that's an illegal, it's so simple to understand. But when you're pandering for votes, you don't care. Dateline Chicago. Mayor Lori Lightfoot issuing an order to ensure that illegal aliens have access to her city's relief benefits. That's right, she wants to give additional aid benefits to illegal aliens in Chicago. That includes housing assistance grants, $1,000 for mortgage or rent. Well, that's all fine. Where have you been in the past? Where are you doing it for your own citizens? And she's saying, as the federal government tried everything under the sun to stigmatize and scare illegals back in the shadows, we stood up and we fought back, and we're going to say, we're in this together. We're going to do things together. And we're going to maintain our distance, and we're going to take care of things, and essential business will be closed down until then. And I had to excuse myself because I don't need to go get my hair cut, which she did. She left the news conference and went to get her hair cut because that's essential. Good God, there's no way to describe and analyze some of these people. Dr. Gerard Lomero coming up on how this next election's going.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest, Dr. Gerard Lomero, author of the new book, Real World Socialism, an expert when it comes to evaluating and forecast models for elections. Dr. Lomero, welcome back, sir.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
Well, let's start with something that we need to clarify right away. Your prediction had been it was going to be Trump against Bernie Sanders and that Trump would win. Sanders is now out of the race. Doesn't mean his impact is over, but let me let you deal with that issue first.
Well, first off, Bernie Sanders is not really out of the race.
Well,
he's out of the race, but he's keeping his delegates, and
right.
He's open to getting more delegates.
And I do want to get into all of that, but specifically,
okay.
you certainly thought Biden was going to go to the side and Sanders would be leading the banner. That doesn't appear that.
No. I really thought he would get it, but the establishment Democratic Party basically changed the rules, coalesced around anyone, Joe Biden, who could put up a fight against Bernie Sanders and beat him. And they did not want Bernie Sanders. I think this is once again where Bernie Sanders should have gotten the nomination, just as he really, in my opinion, should have gotten it in 2016, but the Democratic Party took it away from him.
Yeah, and this time it's a virus. This time it's a virus and Biden, right?
Well, maybe it's the Biden virus.
Yeah.
No, but actually, I think that's what happened. The Democratic Party really rallied around him at the last minute. You had people dropping out, supporting Biden. Totally unexpected. I mean, he was running a poor campaign. And by the way, if you watch him now, he's still The few times he appears in public, he sort of fumbles over words. It's kind of painful to watch it.
Now, listen, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I do not think he's going to get the nomination.
Well, that's where I was going next, because as you said, and I was going to lead into this part as well, we do not have Bernie Sanders releasing his delegates. He's still on the still on the ballot. And that's upsetting to some folks that say, hey, release a delegate, show that you're actually out of it, and I ain't going to do that.
That's why I said he's not truly out of the race. He's there to pick up the pieces if Biden were to suddenly drop out or be forced out due to health reasons or other reasons. So he's standing there ready to take back the nomination if he can possibly get it. So it's possible that the prediction of mine will actually come out true, although the rules changed and the party really doesn't want him.
So going into the convention, once they get one, if they have one, you still got the delegates coming together. The votes are there. Still contested?
Yes, and I think right now, the way it looks to me, slightly before the convention, during the convention, or slightly after the convention, there will be a Democratic nominee who is not Joe Biden.
And you want to name... I know. Go ahead. I know we talked about Hillary still on the sidelines. Michelle
is probably the most likely because she is the second most popular Democrat in the Democratic Party. And she doesn't have a lot of negatives associated with her. She's not out on the stump fumbling over her speeches. She wrote a book that sold 3 million copies a month, which, by the way, as an author, I can appreciate. That's wonderful. She can sell 3 million books in a month. And that's what presidential candidates do. She also appeared in Michigan during the key time during the presidential season. She showed up there, coincidentally.
Well, there's another Democrat that's getting a lot of airtime right now, Governor Cuomo.
He has a lot of negatives that's going to hold him back. I don't think he's got a chance. But there's some other factor in here that's a kind of a mystery, and that may hold the card to telling us who's going to get the nominee. Who does President Barack Obama support? He has never endorsed Joe Biden, his vice presidential partner. He's never endorsed him. So he has someone else in mind. And the question is who? My guess is Michelle Obama.
Well, there are two questions there. One, why hasn't he endorsed him? And as you said, if he's got someone else in mind, or is it also just Biden can't do it and he knows it? He doesn't want to put his name attached to a loser.
Well, to be honest, I think most objective Democrats who want their party to recapture the White House would say Joe Biden is not going to win. He is really fumbling on the. We can go through the list of gaffes.
Right.
It's sort of embarrassing.
Well, there's an ABC poll that's out that shows that, I think it actually was taken last week before the announcement yesterday, 15% of the Sanders supporters said they would go for Trump if Sanders isn't there.
15%. That's what happened in 2016.
Yeah.
In 2016, Trump is the one who picked up the support of the Bernie folks. Why? Because they agreed on trade, the trade issue. The Bernie supporters were really aligned with Trump on revamping our trade policies around the world.
The other thing we see Sanders doing by not stepping aside right now, there is no one guy standing as the socialist now, but they still have their tentacles into the party, and has dramatically, as you pointed out previously, we were going to see, this Democrat Party is not the one of the past, nor will it be the one of the future, because the Democrat tentacles apparently are digging in pretty deep at this point. I'm talking about the socialist tentacles.
Absolutely. This is not the party of JFK by any means. This party has essentially adopted socialism as its mantra, and if you look at all the things that Joe Biden is now saying he supports, he sounds like an outright socialist and doesn't sound much different than Bernie Sanders.
But do you think now he says
pick up the Sanders support,
yeah,
but he's not going to get it.
I was going to say, if he thinks he's not going to get it anyway, do you see him taking a step back to the right, trying to become a little bit more moderate, a little bit more appeasing to the general public? Because he kept moving farther and farther left, balking, struggling, tugging you know, he didn't want to, but he had to. And now he's free of that shackle, or is he?
Right. Well, I think he's in a no-win situation. I think if he moves toward the center to try to pick up more traditional Democrats and more independents, he's going to lose the Bernie supporters. If he goes toward the Bernie supporters, he's going to lose the Democrats and the independents that he was hoping to get by being a, quote, moderate, which he's not really moderate now. He's essentially a socialist. So I think he's in a no-win situation. I think his inability to stand on his feet and talk for more than, an index card worth of words that's coherent, that's going to ruin him, especially if he debates. I don't see how he could possibly take on Donald Trump in a debate.
A counter for Biden to make at this point, especially if Michelle is in the wings, is to put Kamala Harris on the ticket.
Yes, and of course he's mentioned that he's coming after her, and somebody wanted to know, what does that mean?
Yeah,
is he
going to
smell her hair? I mean, what does that mean?
Right.
I mean, that doesn't tell us anything. These people speak without saying things, and that's really kind of
how much would a Kamala Harris on the ticket add in support for Biden? And he's also indicated, if you recall, he's also indicated previously that I really need somebody that's going to be able to take over, you know. He's basically saying, I'm a one-term guy anyway.
Well, he may say he's a one-day guy. I mean, can he last past the inauguration? He may be worn out after the inauguration. Well, I'll tell you, Kamala Harris brings nothing really to the ticket because, and I say this from lots of history of looking at presidential elections, you always pick the vice president that's going to help you get elected. And California is given that it'll go Democratic for other reasons other than which Democrat is on the ticket.
What about gender and race?
They certainly don't, but Kamala Harris doesn't add anything.
Gender and race.
She doesn't, isn't likely to take away the black support that currently supports Trump. She might pull away a few votes, but not enough in the key places to change the dynamics of the election.
Well, now with Sanders' announcement yesterday, I mean, clearly things are shuffling around. And
sure,
what do you think is going on in the closed rooms and behind the doors at what they're trying to decide now? How are we going to deal with Sanders? Because if they get there, he's still going to try in his group to wield what they can on getting a party platform out that would be more socialist than the American public might accept, regardless of who ends up carrying the banner.
Well, I think in the back rooms, the formerly smoke-filled back rooms, there are a lot of loud voices arguing with each other over who can actually beat Donald Trump and what strategy could possibly win. And I think they're arguing different things. Bernie Sanders may be trying to leverage himself into the VP slot, then hoping that Biden can't do the job and he'll take over as president. I think anyone who runs.
Is there any way the Democrats would come up with that kind of ticket, two old white men at this point, this day and age?
Well, it's power politics.
It's
who's got the votes. That's what counts.
Okay.
And Bernie Sanders has a chunk of delegates that he's not releasing. That's the key. There's two keys to this race. He's not releasing his delegates, and Barack Obama hasn't supported anyone officially, endorsed anyone.
We're going to have to let it go there. Doctor, as always, I appreciate it. You're very candid, very direct, and we get some good answers out of you. I do appreciate it, sir.
Well, I love being on your show.
We'll do it again. Dr. Gerard LaMerrill, also author of the book Real World Socialism. I mentioned earlier, do you remember when the Democrats were saying when the coronavirus started circulating, that's no big deal. No, we don't need to do anything. You can go out and party. You don't have to cancel things. You don't need to do anything different. I remember when they said it, and I'll remind you when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're going to have to bring up the Biden versus Biden debate again because it fits perfectly here. Quentin, to pull that up for me. We're talking about where the Democrats have had the attitude, coronavirus is not that big of a deal. You don't need to do that much about it. And then when Trump started taking action, he was acting too fast and xenophobic and banning Chinese coming into the U.S. and also banning flights. And so that was the attitude as expressed by Biden at that point. And then later, once they began to realize, hey, you know, this could be really bad, well, then Biden does an about-face and says Trump didn't act fast enough. Here, once again, Biden debating Biden.
This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science.
You know, 45 nations had already moved to keep block China's personnel from being able to come to the United States before the president moved. It's about pace. It's about the urgency, and I don't think there's been enough of it.
Not enough urgency, they say, right? Because they hadn't done enough about it. Now, this audio you hear in the background, I was kind of looking ahead about something I get ready to play for you. Numerous Democrats in the beginning, and you'd be able to recognize some just by their voice. Nancy Pelosi is going to appear on this tape you're going to hear in a moment. Leaders out of New York, Chicago, so forth, they all got their remarks about how coronavirus is not that big of a deal. The same kind of attitude you heard Biden say, we don't need to be banning these flights, that's xenophobic. And then, well, he didn't do enough fast enough. And now we've got former President Barack Obama criticizing Trump. He went on social media yesterday sharing an article from the New York Times on Twitter arguing that social discontinuing or discounting policies cannot be relaxed till more testing is available. In other words, we got to hold with this social distancing. And he's basically saying the reason we don't have a better way right now is because the administration, read it, Trump, has not done enough when it comes to robust testing and monitoring, something we've yet to do nationwide. So he's saying if we continue to have cases pop up and so forth right now, it's because Trump hasn't done this part. All right, let's back up again. I'm going to go back, and we're going to play a clip of about a minute 45 from you. This is put together by a group by the name of Grady. It's collections of bites of various Democrats, and the central theme you're going to hear from each of them, you don't need to worry about coronavirus. It's nothing. It's nothing. Here we go.
The risk to New Yorkers for coronavirus is low.
And our city preparedness is high.
This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today myself.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
The Department of Sanitation is ready for Mardi Gras 2020.
The facts are reassuring.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
But there's really no need to panic and to avoid activities that we always do as New Yorkers. We are a hardy people.
Americans do not need to panic. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu.
There's very little threat here. This disease, even if you were to get it, basically acts like a common cold or flu.
So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out, enjoy life.
And certainly not to miss the parade next Sunday. I'm going to be there.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No.
We need to be honest about the American people. With the American people about the fact that we can't keep people coming here from China.
And transmission is not that easy. I think there's been a misperception that coronavirus hangs in the air waiting to catch you. No, it takes direct person-to-person contact.
We also know that if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot more cases.
Right, because this is New York, and you're in elevators and trains with everybody all the time.
Yeah. And you know where they are now in New York? New York City, that area, losing 2,700 in the 9/11 attacks. In New York State, and most of these out of New York City, 7,000 dead because of coronavirus. And yet here they were saying, it's all fine. Come to New York. Come party. We go to Chinatown. We go to Italy. We're going to do this. We're going to hold the parade, Italian parade. We're going to do this. We're going to do Mardi Gras. We're going to do all this down in Orleans. We don't need to stop for nothing. Forget about it. Now, Larry, that's not fair because now we know more. We understand. Absolutely. And I agree with that. Do you think I'm going to waste my breath with a question for you? Riddle me this. Do you think the left would accept that as a reason that maybe if Trump did mishandle something in the beginning that we didn't quite have a good hold, that we were listening to Democrats? We're listening to Democrats. We have every reason not to do anything else. Don't do anything. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to get into another thing that got debunked as they tried to make it clear that the intel agency was warning us and Trump blew it. We may play this so soundbite again because I think it's that funny. And also Tom Wellington joining us from Wellington Environmental about some of the new situations they're seeing as they try to sterilize workplaces, hospitals for those trying to return to work after COVID-19. They're on the front line dealing with it. That's all coming up in our next hour. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.